In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. Jesus was in his time and is yet today many things to many people. Consider the four Gospels that we in the church recognize as the official stories of his good news. Each of these long stories or short books, however you want to describe them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one gives us a different view of Jesus. Sometimes they give us contradictory views. But each of the Gospels gives us a different lens through which to look at Jesus. Now, I doubt that it will come as a surprise to most of us here today that there were many other contemporaneous stories written about Jesus, his life, what his life meant, about what he did and how he lived in the world. But we have settled on these four Gospels. Actually, they were settled on for us by the early church authorities. I mean, the really early church authorities, the ones in power within a couple hundred years of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection. And there's all kinds of information available, if you like that kind of thing, books about the history of how Jesus's story has been told through time, how the church's view of Jesus has evolved, and about how our understanding of God and Jesus and life and love are still evolving. And personally, I find that kind of stuff really fascinating, but if that kind of stuff, history, argumentative, theology, leaves you cold, don't worry, we're not here for a history lesson today. We're here to talk about Jesus and what he might mean for us today. Jackson Hole, May 6th, 2018. It is May 6th, isn't it? Yeah. Today. Now, I can't really talk about what Jesus means to me without going back to the stories, because that is the original place that we know him, through the stories in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we know what Paul said about him, because we've kept the letters that Paul wrote to the early churches as part of our scriptures. But on top of the texts of the stories, we have layer upon layer of interpretation and almost 2,000 years of tradition, and sometimes I think that Jesus can get lost to us, obstructed by all of our words. So I like to go back to the texts themselves to see what is actually said. Now, in my opinion, today we kind of hit the jackpot. It's one of those rare Sundays when all of the readings just seem to mesh. Our lectionary gives us a little snippet from Acts, a beautiful psalm from the Hebrew scriptures, a chunk of 1 John, and some verses from John's Gospel. And they all, to me, I hear them all singing out a song in four-part harmony, and I'd like to suggest that maybe they sing out a song to us today that we might hear in a new way. The last couple of Sundays, we've heard about these great I am statements from John's Gospel. We hear Jesus telling his friends, I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the light of the world. And I'm going to point out what you already know. And Jesus clearly was not any of these things that he claimed to be, not literally anyway. He was not bread, although he was nourishment. He was not a gate, although he is the way to God. He was not a vine, even though he grew organically from God and bears fruit that we can partake and participate in. So he was not any of these things literally, but he was an amazing being. He was a man so close to God, so intertwined with God, and yet so fully human that he could only express who he was, why he came, in terms that his followers could understand. So he talked to them in these beautiful metaphors. metaphors that they could relate to. And I believe that the reason that Jesus was so emphatic about his identity, I am, was that he wanted his followers to know that they were too, that they too had a vital, unbreakable connection with God, that they could and should claim that connection, that God's love infused their lives, and by extension, God's love infuses our lives too. And along with that assurance that we are all God's kids, Jesus also offers a challenge. He asks them over and over a question that we might ask ourselves today. He told them to live into their own identities and asked, "Why don't you behave as though you were children of God?" In today's gospel reading, Jesus steps back a bit from this high poetic language that we're used to hearing in the book of John. Maybe he felt that he had made his point about who he was and why he came, or maybe he just felt like if they hadn't gotten it by now, they weren't going to get it at all. So he speaks to them very clearly and factually in today's reading. It's so simple and so poignant. He simply says, "I love you. God loves you, and that gives me great joy. That should give you joy too." And there's only one catch, and it's not really a catch even, it's kind of more of a promise. If you want your joy to be real, and if you want your joy to be complete, well, there's one thing you've got to do. There's only one thing you've got to do. You've got to love one another. Sounds easy, right? When everything's going well, it is easy. When everybody's getting along, and especially when everything is going according to my plan, it's very easy. It's easy to be generous when the cost is low. It's a lot harder, for me anyway, to be kind and loving when the emotional cost is high. I don't want to say it's impossible for me to love my neighbor when I feel like I'm not going to get love in return, but it ain't easy. When it seems like love is a finite resource and there's an imaginary balance sheet where some deserve our love and some don't, I believe that we naturally want to hold on to it and be a little stingy with it. And Jesus says that the reason he came, the reason he was who he was, is so that we may have life. And more than that, that we may have abundant life. Now we need to be a little careful here, because by that he did not mean that he came so that we may have lots of money, or lots of stuff, or lots of cool vacations. Not that those are bad things, unless they get in the way, get in between us and God and our neighbor. But he meant exactly what he said. His mission, the reason that he was who he was so that we may have abundant life. And that's what I hear in today's readings. The joy of the abundant life which we've been given. As Peter spoke in Acts, even though the great diverse crowd, which was comprised of people who were very different from one another, spoke different languages, came from all over the world, so probably had very different political views, somehow by the power of the Holy Spirit, they heard each other, they understood each other, and Peter, who is usually pretty protective of the Jewish identity and suspicious of outsiders, and frankly, up to this point, was a little stingy with his acceptance of the Gentiles, meaning anybody that wasn't Jewish, meaning most of us here today, Peter said, "How can we not baptize them? How can we not include them in this incredible gift that we've been given, this abundant life, this undeniable presence of the Holy Spirit?" So that's what he did. He baptized them. He laid aside his prejudice, as best he could, I assume, and brought them into the fold. He realized that love was not a finite resource, and so he acted accordingly. There was more than enough love to go around. There is more than enough love to go around. Now, how will we respond to these messages of the infinite, bottomless pool of God's love that Jesus brought? The psalm today is a remarkable example of how we can respond. Hear what the psalmist says. Sing a new song. Shout with joy. Lift up your voice, rejoice, and sing. Well, we tend to sing when instructed, when it's printed in our bulletins on Sunday. But I don't think that that was what the psalmist was talking about necessarily, singing in church. The psalmist was trying to tell us to sing out our lives so raucously that the sea and the mountains would join in. And the rivers would even clap their hands. Don't you love that? The rivers would clap their hands. So sing out your life with joy, even if you can't carry a tune in a bucket. If we sing out our lives together, maybe your individual voice won't be quite as noticeable, and that might be a good thing. You don't have to sing a solo. There's no need to be self-conscious. The point is that we're all here to sing out our lives together. Let's make a joyful noise. Amen.